everybody, welcome back to Trapp's Lodge. This episode is short, but to the point. Trapper talks about maintenance in February and things that you should be doing now to prepare for the upcoming spring exotic and axis and turkey season. So we hope you enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome back to Trapp's Lodge.
Welcome back to Trapp's Lodge, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well.
So today we are going to talk about maintenance and what you should be doing right now. It's kind of, we're finishing up whitetail season. We're not yet in really any other season.
Correct, yeah.
So kind of what you need to be doing in the in-between to prepare for next year's, I guess, fall season, as well as turkey hunts, any spring hunts you're doing, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, so when you talk about maintenance, you talk about just general maintenance and feed maintenance and maintaining, basically. A lot of people, as whitetail season dwindles, they kind of let those feeders run out. And you're getting into the late winter months, you know, January, February, and early March before spring hits. And those deer that have been depending on those feeders throughout the fall and beginning of winter, you're kind of just cutting their throat. And I practice keeping those feeders running at least until the first part of spring. I like to keep them running year round, and even maybe in the spring and stuff, just turn them down a little bit. And then this time of year, I start adding Milo to my corn feeders, just prepping for turkey season. And then we get a lot of freezes this time of year, so checking water lines and making sure your livestock and deer have, you know, water to go to is always a big maintenance issue with us this time of year. And we always, you know, when you get done with hunting season, everything's been kind of hectic. So now you're playing catch up and making up all your preps and putting your vehicles in the shop while you have time, doing all that kind of stuff.
So what would you tell somebody who maybe isn't as available to fill feeders and things like you are, people that, you know, do this full time? What's kind of the bare minimum they need to be doing right now?
I think at least if you could just put out deer blocks, although those can go fast sometimes. And then those, if you have small corn feeders, if you can get bigger ones, if you're not able to fill them very often, it would be smarter to get a bigger corn feeder, like a 1,000 pounder. That way you don't have to go out there every couple weeks. You could go every month, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically keep feeding. Mm-hmm. Is what I gathered from that.
Definitely a very important, because you got to remember your young whitetail bucks are shedding their antlers, and you want their body condition to recover from the rut best as possible. And I think it's just something that's overlooked very easily with a lot of lease hunters, ranches, etc.
Right, that makes sense. And you touched a little bit on putting some Milo out for the turkeys. Mm-hmm. Anything else you need to be doing to prep for turkey season, or is that pretty much it?
I'll put my pop-ups out starting in, you know, mid-February, just to get those turkeys used to come to those pop-ups. It gives them like a month, because turkey season usually opens a third week in March in Texas, at least in our part of Texas. And we have the Rio Grande here, and there's actually 5 species of turkeys, but we have the Rio Grande here.
Okay, so feed, checking water leaks. I know we're getting ready for a big, well, I say big winter storm. Anything in Texas that's below freezing, it's a storm, a winter storm to me.
Well, we get a lot of ice here, and that's a lot harder to deal with than snow.
Yes, definitely. So, okay, so whitetail season's wrapping up. We're filling our feeders. We're prepping for turkey season. What is there to look forward to after February?
We get into axis hunting late April and May, and that's always fun to watch those big axis bucks. They're still like half to three quarters growing out in velvet right now. Some of them are tipped out or a little further along. So that's always kind of exciting watching that come into the season. We call it axis season, which is kind of funny, but we do our height of axis season is, you know, late April through early July.
Okay, so touch on that again. If someone wants to book an axis hunt and shoot one in velvet, they should aim for what time period?
Like tipped out velvet, full velvet, and have a lot of selection is like late April.
Okay, and then
April in general.
Yeah. Kind of the latest that you want to hunt axis?
Well, I just don't like to hunt them in August because it gets super hot. We end up doing it anyway, but They rut during the hot time of the year. They're a semi-tropical deer. We've talked about this before. So they rut during the hot time of the year, and that's their rut usually hits mid-May through about mid-July.
Okay. And how is the Axis population looking? I know that they were, it was hard last year after the big freeze to
find.
Well,
it's because a lot of those bucks got frostbit tips, right, and their antlers were messed up. But the ones that survived, it's going to be a stellar year, I think. It's going to be one for the books as far as Axis hunting in Texas this year. There's going to be a lot of big bucks. The ones that, you know, survived got passed by, you know, on our ranches and across Texas in general. So.
Okay, so if you haven't booked your Axis hunt,
better get on the books.
Need to do it. Okay, so what other things go on in the springtime? Exotic hunting.
Well,
is
you've
always
got all of your horned exotics. You know, everything that's a horned animal, anything from black buck to nilgai, eland, oryx, gemsbok, attix, all your horned species, and the axis. Those are your prime trophies. Then, and we book a lot of that stuff in the spring and then early summer after the people's kids get out of school and stuff, and then they have time to get out and hunt again. The avid whitetail hunter, he gets really bored that time of year, so Axis is a big one on the list. It's an affordable hunt, and a lot of people like the meat, and the trophy's great. So,
if somebody is, like you said, an avid whitetail hunter and never shot anything else, would you suggest they start with Axis, or what exotic?
I think Axis would be number one. Black buck's right there with them. Those are both just amazing trophies. Granted, the table fare of Axis is way better, just because it's a lot more meat and less lean than black buck. Black buck, I tend to have to add a lot of pork or beef to it to make the ground and stuff. It's just a very lean meat.
Okay.
And you've got all your sheep species too, all your Audad, Mouflon, Urials, and stuff like that. So
that are this time of year, or mm-hmm. will come in.
You can hunt them year round. All your, any of your horned animals.
Right, but most people hunt them in.
I like to hunt the Mouflon, red sheep, and Urials in the winter when they have their full winter coat. So that's a good February hunt.
Okay.
And like, if you wanted to hunt bison, that's a good time to hunt bison January, February, because they have all their big winter hair, you know, big fluffy coats on.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about turkey hunting. Tell us your method that you know, how you turkey hunt. What do you like to do?
My brother's an avid turkey hunter. What I do is just feed a lot and then put people out in the pop-up blinds and kind of let them do their thing. Because sometimes I think it's the dumbest animal in the world, but other times they definitely, you can tell that they can get smart. But I've called a few in for clients, but I like a lot of the guys that are avid turkey hunters, they kind of like to call it for themselves and kind of do it on their own or with a buddy. So I call it like a semi-guided hunt. I don't really have to sit in the blind with them or call for them. I will if they're novice, I will. My brother's a really good turkey caller, I guess you would say. So he likes to come out and help me with my turkey hunters. But, I mean, I get lucky and just drive up to the house and they're sitting on the water trough and I shoot them. So
oh, my goodness. So you don't have any good turkey hunting stories?
Not really. I mean, I've had them come in super close and I hunt them with a shotgun. Some people will shoot them with a rifle, and I get a lot of bow hunting turkey hunters. It's a good bow challenge.
What is the biggest difference between shooting deer, whitetail, axis, whatever, and a turkey? That if someone's never been turkey hunting before and they're thinking about doing it, but they've, you know, shot
turkeys are kind of just always on the move. You know, they're always just moving. May not be like big movements, but they're always just strutting around or turning. And so it's challenging just to get, they're not going to just stand still, stock still and look at you. I mean, if they're feeding, they're moving. If they're, you know, strutting, they're kind of moving around. And that's why a lot of people use a shotgun, just so they can, you know, have a bigger pattern to at close range. You know, they try to get them within 25, 30 yards.
And your surroundings are a lot different, right? You're not mm-hmm. in a,
you can either, you know, just work on the ground and just get in some brush or back against a tree. And it takes a lot of camo because their eyesight's unbelievable. Smell isn't as important, but their eyesight's incredibly great. So you have to get really camoed up or get in a pop-up type blind and kind of black it out and then just have very little light coming in that blind.
What about their hearing?
Hearing's so-so. Smell is not really an issue, but they really rely on their eyesight. I mean, obviously, the hearing's pretty good because they hear each other talking. They're very vocal that time of year. Right. So. But they're less, I guess, flighty on sound, but a lot flightier on, like, movement and eyesight. And we try, and you definitely don't want to hunt too close to where they roost, and you because you'll kind of blow them out. You want them to have that roost as a sanctuary where they can go home, basically, and turn out the lights. So we hunt probably a good 200 to 300 yards away from a roost or a roosting area, and let them come out and feed and get comfortable, and then try to hunt them from there. And they move, you know, they'll move. Early spring or that time of spring, they'll move kind of all day throughout the day, unless it's super hot, and then they'll just kind of lock up and seek shade during the really hot time of the day.
So for novice hunters that are attempting to hunt turkeys, how would they go about finding where they roost? Just kind of watching them?
They're usually roosting in some big trees, usually along creek or river bottoms. I mean, they'll literally roost just anywhere. Mm-hmm. But they like the, you know, big live oaks that are really tall. And just to get that, they have to do that to get away from predators, bobcats and coyotes and stuff like that. Granted, bobcats could climb up there, but definitely not like a coyote. Another thing is, like, setting your timer on your deer feeders to, like, you know, like your deer hunting, you would do it like right at daylight, maybe 5 minutes after daylight for whitetail hunting. But with turkeys, like, I want to make sure that sun's up, and I'll set it for maybe at least 30 to 45 minutes after daylight. So the sun's up and they're off because they're not just super early risers. The sun's got to get up, and then they start leaving the roost, you know, at the crack of daylight. So by the time they kind of get to my feeding ground, I want that feeder to go off around, you know, 45 minutes after daylight, which with whitetail hunting, it's like 5 minutes after daylight.
Okay.
And then they go to bed. As soon as that sun starts setting, they're in the roost.
Yeah. So you want to set the feeder again
a little earlier
when there's still enough light left for them to make it back.
That they'll feed and then can make it back to the roost.
Interesting. Are they creatures of... Are they pattern much, or do they just kind of...
kind of pattern, you know, to feeders when they're hungry, but then sometimes they just get very sporadic. And, of course, that time of year, gobblers are just moving up and down the river bottom just looking for hens and calling and calling and calling. They just kind of get really goofy.
Okay. Talk about the license requirements to hunt turkeys. Anything special or just regular?
I think that's got to be a full license, like what you have to have for whitetail, because you have to have the tags. Mm-hmm. So that's a full license requirement in the state of Texas. Okay. You can't do like a 3-day turkey tag.
Okay, gotcha. Good to know. What? So once again, if someone's trying to get into turkey hunting, I'm assuming you suggest starting with a gun as opposed to a bow. I would assume bow is a lot more challenging.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not a bow hunter, but a shotgun's really, it's really fun. It's calling them in and playing their game and talking and figuring it all out is really fun.
I think, and I've never been turkey hunting, but from just the stories I've heard and the people I've seen do it and stuff, I think that 99% of the fun would be in all the prepping and trying to get them to, you know, come out, regardless of if you get one or not.
And the foods, they eat well. I mean, Rhonda, our cook, she's cooked them up for me. It's been really well. She sliced it thin and breaded it and kind of, I wouldn't say chicken fried it, but like a schnitzel kind of. It was really good. But I used to really not like wild turkey that much, but then she's done it a few different ways for me. I was actually impressed. Obviously, if you know how to prepare it, it's very, very good meat, so.
Okay. And how long does turkey season last usually?
It's about a month.
It's shorter, yeah.
Yeah, it's like third week in March to like the third week in April or second week. It's 3 to 4 weeks in Texas.
Okay. That's interesting. Maybe we can do another podcast too and get a little bit more in depth on the different subspecies and that sort of thing. So let's talk a little bit about exotics in the spring. What's your favorite? Like, if you had to do it all over again and pick one to hunt in the spring, would you?
I keep saying Axis is my favorite.
Well, okay, besides Axis, I'm sorry.
That's tough. Audad.
Yeah. Okay.
But I like all the Addix and Oryx and Gimsbok and Blackbuck and all that. But Axis is my number one.
I think Addix are beautiful.
Addix are beautiful.
They're so pretty.
They're a little underrated. The meat's really, really good. Oryx, Simmertone Oryx seem to be more popular, and it may be a price point thing, but I think Addix are really, really one of my favorite.
Do most of the hunters that come hunt with you and shoot exotics, do they eat the meat?
Definitely. Yeah.
All of them?
Yep.
Okay. And they're, I mean, I guess they enjoy it. And Okay. I guess you don't talk about that a lot. You know, most people that shoot exotics get the mount and the
pictures about the,
and stuff.
It's always about the meat, too. I mean, if they don't want to eat the sheep species, like Audad or Mouflon or stuff like that, give it to the dogs or whatever. And the reason is those rams are 8 or 10 years old, so that meat's really tough.
Yeah.
And it can be kind of gamey. I've had it where it's decent, but I'm not a big lamb guy or sheep guy that likes to eat it. But I've heard like Dall sheep and Bighorn's really good, but that's a little bit different breed of sheep. Granted, that's probably like a $10,000 burger if you're eating that. But all your antelope species is really good. I actually got a few people that have shot eland with me that were disappointed. Like when they went to Africa, they got to shoot an eland. They got to try a little bit of the meat, but mm-hmm. didn't get to bring the meat back with them. So I've had some guys, hunt eland with me that the biggest reason was for all the quality meat they can get off of that animal. And that's a lot of meat. I mean, an eland can weigh up to 1,800, 2,000 pounds. A big, big wow. eland bull.
Wow.
Generally, most of them are probably around 1,600, but that's a third of that's, meat.
That'll last you like how long?
Depends on how much you want to eat a day.
I was going to say, I think that'd last us forever.
You got a family with 4 kids and they're making a lot of spaghetti and tacos and whatever, they can run through a lot of ground meat.
Yeah, most of our meat goes to the dogs, I feel like. Those dogs are better fed than most humans.
Nah.
All right, so book your Axis hunt, book your exotic hunts. Anything else you can think of for kind of February maintenance, stuff you need to be doing right now? You mentioned getting your vehicles in the shop. What do you do with all your guns and your ammo and stuff right now? Anything people need to be?
Well, you definitely need to, if you're not going to use it for a while, be sure and clean it real well and put it away. Sort through all your, bags and make sure your clothes and gear are washed and put away. And just generally, you get so busy with hunting season, you come in and just kind of throw everything down, and you do that repetitively. Well, you need to kind of resort it. If you've got rainy, cold days, it's good to resort all your stuff and kind of go through what might need to be replaced. Or
I was going to say, it might be a good time to like do inventory and buy anything that.
Right. And there's a lot of stuff on sale after Christmas, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time to, right now there's an ammo shortage, but I try to say like find deals, find ammo, maybe try out something. It's a good time of year to, goose season's finishing up, but that's a good January thing to do. We talked about that.
Yeah, and you missed a goose hunt.
I did miss out on it. Yeah, I was going to go, but just didn't quite work out. Oh, a little disappointed, but always next year or whatever. So make a point.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, hopefully that was informative to people kind of with wondering what to do.
Yeah.
Is February kind of like your least favorite?
Oh, I love February.
Well, I know you like the weather, but as far as like when you're most active with hunting and animals and stuff, what's kind of your downtime month? Is like August a month for you where you don't do a lot?
I don't like the heat.
I'll take
the cold every day, but not the heat. August is just brutal. So I like February. We've got a hunt coming up this weekend with the bad weather coming in. I'm kind of excited about it. It's going to be fun.
You're the only person that I've talked to that's excited about this weather.
Sitting around a campfire, watching the ice build up, sleet come in, just animals are hungry. Should be fairly easy hunting. So
poor Winnie's going to be freezing.
Yeah. She'll be at your feet all night.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, hopefully y'all are having a great start to the new year, and you can walk away with some little tips and stuff to kind of get prepped and ready and get excited for spring hunting, turkey hunting, exotic, axis, whatever you choose to do.
Yeah, get out there, you know, worst case, go shoot some clays, go break some clays with your friends and burn up some time there, you know.
Yeah.
Always something to do. If you just think hard enough and look hard enough, you can find something to do outside. So get outside and go do it. Take the kids, take your friends, go enjoy the outdoors.
All right, well, we'll see you next week.
Next week, guys. See ya.